Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
We're going to continue our series, We Stand Together, on His Promises. But, you know, I just got to say, one of the most exciting things in my life is when I get to hear God. It's so fun. It's so thrilling to actually hear God's voice. And as a team, we heard God last August as we pressed in. You know, the Bible says if we seek Him, we will find Him, and we found Him. And God instructed us to emphasize five areas in 2020 as we're believing God for greater. And one of those areas was digital influence. And absolutely amazing that God would have prepared us for what was coming. We had no idea, but He did. And the fact that we can hear God is so rewarding. In fact, the father of our faith, Abraham, he said, God, You are my great reward. You are. And the ability to hear God and then see Him fulfill what you've heard. I mean, it's awesome that God provides. But when God tells you when and how or the details of what He's going to do before He does it, there's just nothing like that. Nothing like it at all. And so, once again, just being able to hear God prepare us for our online experience. Because before COVID, we were online, but as those of whoever visit us there, it was not that excellent. We were ready to launch in April. I guess if we were really listening, God would have said, hurry it up and give us a launch date of March. But praise God for the team. We scrambled, and it's just getting better and better, and we're reaching more people around the world. People are joining us, and those that are joining us right now, we're honored. We're honored that you would take this time to join us as we worship God together. Amen. And so we have been in a series called We Stand Together on His Promises. And today's title of the message is Honor Values. Honor Values. And if you would stand with me as we honor the Word together, as I read the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And if you're able to, wherever you're at and watching and can stand, please do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. We need each other. Come on, say that. We need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Let's pray. Father, we need You. We needed You before we ever knew we needed You. And You sent Your Son, Jesus, because we needed You. We were lost. We're heading in the wrong direction. Jesus, thank You for obeying the Father and for coming to the earth that You created to rescue us. Jesus, You are our King. You are our Lord. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. Thank You for giving us the gift of eternal life. Thank You for depositing Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our lives as a deposit, guaranteeing that we belong to You And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your words, to preach the words of Jesus today, the message that he has for us. And I pray that you'd open our eyes and you'd open our ears to hear what God is saying to us. Holy Spirit, we are all at different places today, but you can speak through this message to each and every one of us in a way that we need. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we're going to continue this series, and we've really embarked on a series within a series on honor. And I'm excited to preach further and deeper on this subject because it's important. It's especially important in this day and age that we're living to grasp this principle, this concept, this law called honor. See, honor is to value. Honor is to value someone, God and others. See, we honor God by honoring others. In fact, the Bible says if we don't love those who we see, if we can't love our brothers and sisters who we can see, how can we say we love God who we don't see? How can you say you honor God when you don't honor your brothers and sisters? And the answer is you can't. See, we honor the forgiveness that God has given us when we forgive others. See, we honor what Christ has done. We honor the forgiveness we have received when we forgive others. And so when we don't forgive others, we dishonor God. We dishonor what God has done for us. We don't value it. We don't value what God's done for us when we won't forgive others. Our text today is found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, the New Living Translation. Then Jesus left Galilee and went through the north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Verse 24. Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Did Jesus just say that? If you've got your Bible, those are red letters. Verse 27, she replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. This isn't one of those easier passages we find in the scriptures. How do we unpack this? Because it appears, it looks like, first, Jesus ignores this woman, doesn't even acknowledge her presence. And then Jesus appears to be referring to this woman as a dog. Now, I hope to soften that phrase, dog, in a moment, but first let me let it do its best to offend you. You know, the scriptures can be very offensive to our flesh. But it brings life to our spirit. Now, if you know Jesus longer than 5 minutes, you know that something else is going on here. Because you know how good Jesus is. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how honor gives you access. Honor gives you access. Access to God and to others. But dishonor closes the door. This is a really big deal throughout the scriptures, this concept of honor and dishonor. For those who honored God, God worked all things out for good for them. But for those who dishonored God, it never worked out good. All the characters, if you look to those that it worked out good for, they had a heart of honor. They chose honor. They weren't perfect. None of the characters in the scriptures were perfect. In fact, almost all of the characters in the Bible never thought they were actually going to be characters of the Bible. Honor is a big deal. It's a really big deal to God. God is all about relationship. Relationship is a big deal to God, as we're going to see today. You don't get to just quit on a relationship. You don't get that choice if Jesus is the Lord of your life. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't get that choice. You've given up that choice because you've honored Him and you've received Him as your Lord and Savior. So just like God doesn't give up on us, we can't give up on one another. Now, He instructs us of how to live when there's conflict. Forgiveness is a big deal. Now, back to our story, this Gentile woman. Mark chapter 7 tells the story and actually tells us that Jesus went to this town to get away. And He told His disciples, don't tell anybody that I'm here. But a good secret just can't be kept silent, right? And it got out that Jesus was there. And this woman who had heard about Jesus needed Jesus. And she sought after Him. Who knows what length she had to go to find out where Jesus was. What lengths are you willing to go to find Jesus? She busts in uninvited and cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and being tormented." But then Jesus he doesn't seem to even acknowledge her. Church, how many of us have ever felt like Jesus didn't recognize or acknowledge us? How many, having cried out to Jesus once or twice or three times, having not thought that God even acknowledged our prayers, just gave up and got offended? What if this woman would have just received the offense and got offended? She wouldn't even got to second base. But she presses in, doesn't she? And what does she press in with? Worship. Such an important idea and concept and principle. We come to God, we ask, we pray, we ask, we believe, and we receive. Then what do? We've asked, we believed, we received, but then the enemy comes and goes, what? God didn't hear you. You think he's going to do that? He didn't even hear you. You didn't even feel anything when you prayed. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil comes to rob that thing you believed and received in that moment. See, the devil could have come in to the Gentile woman and said, he doesn't care about you. He's not that good. He's not that loving. He's not that kind. And she could have got up offended like, that's right. I went all this way. I did all this. And he won't even hear me. Church, I promise you, God hears every one of your prayers. God counts every one of your tears. They're being stored up. They're being stored up. Don't get offended and have those things be pouring out. Don't waste your tears. Don't waste your prayers by getting offended at God. She didn't. What did she do? She presented a request. She presented a request. And then what did she do? She worshiped. Church, come on. Come on. With prayers of thanksgiving. What do you think prayers of thanksgiving are? Prayers of thanksgiving are, I prayed for something, believed it, received it, and now I'm thanking God for the manifestation of it. That's what it is. It's also a prayer of thanksgiving. It is a, God, thank you for all that you've done. You recognize, you honor God for his goodness, for all that he's done in your life. You're like, God, you've done so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I praise you, I worship you. This Gentile woman refused offense. She refused it. And she pressed into worship. Now she heard him. She heard God. She heard God. And what did God say? It's hard to even repeat it. He said, these promises are for the children of Israel. I came for the children of Israel. Not for the dogs. Now, let me soften this a little bit. There's two different words for dog in the scriptures. One has to do with a stray wild dog, which the Jews thought of everybody outside of the children of Israel as. Now you go, man, that's just terrible. That's so bad. Yet it's so true. Church, apart from Jesus, we're worse than dogs. David had the revelation. David, King David, what did he call himself? What did he say? What did he go, I am but a worm. I am but a worm. So it's not an untruth that Jesus said, compared to, I mean, it's true, and I know it's a hard thing to swallow, but if you don't swallow it, you'll never get the fullness of who God is and His greatness. He doesn't want you to remain a dog. He wants to raise you up as a son or daughter, but until you recognize that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you will not experience the glory of God that He has for His sons and daughters. You cannot be born again if you don't humble yourself and recognize who Jesus is. See, this Gentile woman, she refused to offense. She could have got offended. And some of you are battling right now. I'm kind of offended. Well, don't be offended at me. They're not my words. They're not my words. I remember many years ago, I had the privilege of ministering in Pontiac, Michigan, just outside of Detroit, and leading a drama team into this soup kitchen where there were hundreds of people, and we performed, and I got up. I had the opportunity. I was 19 years old, Pastor Preston, and I got up and I preached the gospel. I had the privilege of preaching the gospel, and out of hundreds of people, I said, anybody right now that would like to give their life to Jesus, just lift up your hand. And there were like four or five hands in this massive crowd. And I felt an urge of the Holy Spirit. Wait. So I waited. That awkward pause, just like that. And then I said, hey, I want every one of you to know this, man. We are so honored that you would allow us to come here and perform and to speak. But I believe God wants you to know something, that when you didn't lift up your hand to receive Jesus, you're not rejecting me. You're not rejecting us. But you're rejecting Jesus. So based on more information today, I want to give you an opportunity. Do you want to accept Jesus? Hundreds of hands came up. See, it's the truth that will set you free. If you don't recognize you're a sinner, if you don't recognize the depravity of the human heart, you will not experience the freedom and the forgiveness that He desires to give you. This Gentile woman refused offense. What was her response? I can't believe you, Jesus. You just called me a dog. Now, let me soften it a little bit. Okay? Like I said, there's a word for a wild dog that's used in the scripture. But this is another word, a Greek word for a house dog or a puppy dog. It's a little softer, huh? But what is a Gentile woman's response is, Master, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. What is Jesus' response? Whoo! Doesn't say marveled, but I feel like he marveled. Like he, woo! Woman of great faith. For Jesus to call you and describe you as a woman of great faith, a man of great faith, that's, I don't know about you, but that energizes me. Yes. To have Jesus go, hey, yeah, that's my son. He's got great faith. He's got great faith. Again, church, will you? Do you want to live a life that causes Jesus to marvel and say, that's my son who has great faith. That's my daughter who has great faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now here's, again, one of the really important points here. Don't get offended. Because if you don't get offended, and there's plenty of opportunities every day to get offended. In fact, Jesus said, in this life, there will be offense. There will be offense. There will be plenty of things to get offended at. But if you choose not to, by honoring others, see, because the reality is if you honor others better than yourself, then you won't get offended. Why did this Gentile woman not get offended? Because she valued Jesus more than she did herself. Thus leading to the miracle in her life. Church, when we dishonor, we're cutting off relationship. We're cutting off the favor of God in our lives. John 11 is a story about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, you know the story earlier, right? Mary and Martha. Martha's preparing for Jesus. Jesus is there and she's preparing for all the guests. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and she's looks like offended, right? Like looks like Martha is offended that comes to Mary. Mary, come on, get off the ground, get up here and help me. And Jesus kindly says, Martha, Martha, why do you worry about so many things? Mary has chosen, Mary has honored what is more important. And what she has honored will not be taken from her. Church, here's the thing. God will not let anything be taken from you that you honor, that He's given you. Now, God may remove some things, but here's the beauty. He'll give you better. If not in this life, the life to come. You can guarantee it. You can guarantee that. But then the story comes in John chapter 11 where Lazarus dies. But before Lazarus dies, they send for Jesus, right? They send for Jesus to say, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. We need you. But Jesus doesn't hurry. And what happens? Lazarus dies. Jesus goes. He's told Lazarus is dead, but Jesus, no, he's just asleep. And he goes and Martha meets him outside the city and says, Jesus, if you'd only been here, Lazarus would have lived. Then Martha goes and lets Mary know that Jesus is outside the city. Mary gets up from her weeping and mourning and she runs to Jesus. Runs to Jesus. And what does Mary do? What does Mary do first? Before saying, Jesus, if you'd only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Mary worshiped Jesus. Mary bowed down and worshiped Jesus and then said, Jesus, man, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. It says, Jesus is moved with compassion. He weeps. He weeps. And it says he goes and what happens? Lazarus is raised up. Church, let me tell you, our worship moves God. Our worship, our praise is a weapon. It's a weapon. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And when we worship Jesus, when we worship God, we are releasing heaven to go to battle for us and the church. Our worship is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. When we worship, what are we doing? We're honoring God. We're lifting Him up. We're exalting Him and His name, which releases heaven for us, releases His angels on our behalf. Remember, our battle's not against flesh and blood. Really important. Now, I have some instructions for us and instructions for others that you can help from the Bible. Right now, there is an absolute war going on between Christians online, on social media. I'll tell you this, my strong, very strong opinion, and maybe full out conviction, knowing you confront a brother or sister online in front of the world, and you are sinning. Let me tell you how serious this is by just reading the scriptures, and you come up with your own conclusions. Maybe they won't be the same as mine, but I'm just going to read the scriptures and let the scriptures fall where they may. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one privately and attempt to resolve the matter. If he responds to your relationship, and if he responds, your relationship is restored. And if his heart is closed, then go to him again. This time, go to social media and all forms of it, to let everybody know how upset and wrong your brother or sister is. That's not what it says. It says, go find one or two people and then go back to them privately to talk to them again. And then it goes on and talks about agreement, and you can go there and study it, but for the sake of time, I got to move on. Now, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaching on prayer, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You're familiar with the commandment that the older generation was taught, do not murder or you will be judged. But I'm telling you, if you hold anger in your heart toward a fellow believer, you are subject to judgment. And whoever demeans and insults a fellow believer is answerable to the congregation. And whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer is in danger of being sent to a fiery hell. What? There are too many people that don't know this scripture. Just knowing this scripture would change a lot of people's behavior. Then he goes on, he says, so then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once to apologize with the one who is offended. Then after you have reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift. Guess what? God's like, I don't want your gifts. I don't want your worship when you've got that crud in your heart. When you know you have an offense and anger in your heart, I don't want your worship. It's polluted. It's ugly. I don't want it, God says. Go. Reconcile. Then come back and worship. And give your gift, your offering. Now, here at Bethel, we'll take your offering even if you do have an offense. Okay? We got to keep the lights on. I mean, again, this is Jesus. Does that offend you? If it does, it's just offending your flesh, which you want to crucify and kill anyway. Your spirit should be stirring. Yeah. Church, I have such the fear of God. I know the scriptures. The scripture says if I don't honor my wife, God does not hear my prayers. Okay, I'm in the business of praying a lot. And if God is not hearing my prayers, I'm wasting my time. If you're living dishonorably to others, if you don't care about others, if you don't value others, and when you cut off a relationship, what you're saying is, I don't value them. You ain't allowed to cut off a relationship until God says to set a boundary to that. And there are times that he does. The Bible says, do everything you can to live at peace with everyone. Okay, so after you've done everything you can, now you move forward. But you don't move forward with that anger and that bitterness and that offense in your heart, because you move forward continuing to drink poison and it's affecting you. This is really serious to God. So, if you need encouragement today, as Bob Newhart would say, let me counsel you on your social media post. Stop it. Especially if you have offense or anger. Your life's not your own. You don't have the right to post whatever you want. Not if you're a son or daughter of God. Who are you, Pastor Mike? Just a humble servant of the Lord, speaking the truth. And if you call this your church, your pastor. It's sin. Jesus equates that anger and that post, that spirit in which you're posting, to murder. And he says, you better be afraid of the consequence. Matthew 6:14 says, and when you pray, make sure, Jesus said, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you. I was 15 years old when this passage came alive. And there was a fresh motivation to forgive and forgive quickly. Do you see, if you do not forgive others their sins and faults, your Father will not forgive you. Do you need any other motivation? Like, really? Like, you're wasting your time praying when you're harboring unforgiveness. It's a waste. Your prayers don't even go out of the ceiling. What do you mean? In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about Balaam, prophet of God, who did not value, did not honor God or God's people. I'll get into it just for a moment. He goes and he inquires of God whether he can curse the children of Israel, because the Midianites or Semite wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. So he says, well, let me go inquire of the Lord. So he goes and inquires of the Lord, and God says, those are my people. Of course you will not curse them. So then he goes back, and he says, can't do it. And they say, we'll pay you way more. Let me go inquire of the Lord again. As if God changed his mind because they're going to pay you more. He comes back, and it can look confusing, because he comes back to God inquiring of God, and God says, go ahead, I got permission. Church, if you don't honor God and you don't actually want his ways, he'll let you have your ways, and you'll go away thinking God said it's okay. Okay, I'm praying, I'm in my Bible, I go to church, and it's all okay. What does it profit someone to gain the whole world and lose their soul? I mean, you'll start thinking your posts are making a difference. Glory to God, I showed them. I told them. Yeah, how many of those people are like running to you going, I need Jesus. Please help me find Jesus. You might be sitting here going, wait a second, man. My Jesus would never call somebody a dog. My Jesus would never say that. My Jesus would never do that. I know. Because your Jesus doesn't exist. If your Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, he's just pretend. And there is a devil in hell that would love to pretend to be Jesus for you. Oh, he knows. The devils know who Jesus is, and they tremble. Yes. And they're really good deceivers. They're really good at masquerading like Jesus. And who wouldn't like that? He lets me do what I want. He lets me post whatever I want online. And I feel like good about it for a minute, but then I need to do some more. I need to go tell somebody else off again. Church, not in this house. And listen, I don't know of a bunch of conflicts in our house. I barely get on social media. But even the few times I get on and I look and I go, are you serious? Are you, like, and so I can only imagine, and not very long because I don't want to get depressed, I can only imagine what's going on that I don't see. Because the little that I do see, I go, are you, what? Really, Pastor President? I call him up, I go, is this really happening? Not in this house. We love you so much that we'll tell you the truth. And no matter who wins in this election coming up, we will honor. We will honor. Because God said, and that settles it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you are here in this place. I thank you, Jesus, that you have come to set us free today. I'm just going to pause for a moment. My wife is going to come and just share something that I think is going to even unlock something in our hearts and minds today.
So in first service, the Lord spoke to me, convicted me, revealed, lifted blindness from my eyes. I was sobbing and repenting during first service. For those of you who know my story, I became an only child when I was 13. My brother was 11 when he died. So my parents have. My three children are the only grandchildren they have. And when Mike and I heard the Lord to call us from Nashville out here 19 and a half years ago, I began praying that my parents would move out here as well and be with us. And so for years, I prayed and prayed and prayed and believed and believed and actually begged God. I begged him to move my parents out here so my children could be with their grandparents and we could be with them. We could have family nights on Friday nights every week. And as Mike was preaching in first service, and I was sitting on the front row, he said a phrase. He said that the woman, the Gentile woman, felt like she was being ignored by Jesus. And as he spoke those words, the Holy Spirit lifted off the blinders off of my eyes that I've been living in I don't know how many years. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You've been offended at me. You've been offended at me, Julie." I didn't know that I've been offended at the Lord for I don't know how many years. But it was at the point when I stopped praying. Because there was a point that I stopped praying and I stopped asking God to move my parents out here. I stopped hoping because it hurt too much to hope, because every time I would hope, I would get disappointed again. And it hurt, and I didn't want to hurt. And so I allowed numbness to come over my heart, and I stopped praying and I stopped asking and I stopped believing God to move them out here. I'm not the only one that has offense toward God in this place today. That's what the Holy Spirit spoke. And there were people in first service that came up to me and said it. So there's probably those of you in this service and probably the next. There are things that you have believed God for, that you've prayed for over and over and over and over and over and over again. Whether it be a restored relationship that still hasn't been restored. Whether it's been a home that you're still renting after all these years and you haven't been able to be a homeowner. Whether it's something in your business or your career and you've believed for and you've cried out for and it still hasn't happened. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Or maybe the blinders have yet to be lifted. So my ask to you is this. Ask the Lord. Is there anything in my heart? Is there anything in my life that I have allowed to cause me to become offended at you, Jesus? And if you know, and if the blinders have been lifted this morning, then let's just pray right now. Father, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we repent for being offended at you. Of all the people to be offended at, the worst is to allow ourselves to become offended at you. God, whatever we feel has been a disappointment, a hurt.
Yes.
God, we repent. We repent. We run to you. We repent for holding anything against you. Lord, because your word says in Psalm 84:11 that you will withhold no good thing to him who walks uprightly. So if we believe there have been good things that have been withheld from us, it is not a cause or a reason to become offended at you. It is a cause and a reason to worship you, Jesus.
Yes.
Because you will withhold no good thing and you have our best in mind. That is what is true. So forgive us for our wrong thinking. Forgive us for allowing offense to come into our hearts towards you. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us. We repent. Open our eyes. Bring revelation. Allow deception and blindness to be lifted off of our lives. Lord, allow us to see you in the true form that you are good forever and nothing else but good. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's the thing. What's important is now. What's important is now. What is the Holy Spirit speaking now? There are things that 1 year from now that you actually have, you're holding on to right now, but the Holy Spirit's so patient, so kind, you're not ready for that. But what matters is right now, what is he speaking now? And do you honor him by wanting to know what he wants to do right now? This is not about perfection. This is not about you do everything right and perfect. It's about right now in your conscience, as the Holy Spirit brings somebody to mind, says, I want you to release that person. I want you to forgive that person. I want you to reach out to that person. I want you to extend an olive branch, that we do what he says. Church, listen, we got so many issues. Our righteousness is not our effort. It's receiving. It's a gift. And he cleanses us and he loves us. He loves us so much. And I know there's difficult times that we don't understand, but in those moments, what we're called to do is lift up our hands and worship. Worship. Remember this, never forget it. You are loved, you are blessed, and you are highly favored. Now let's go live loved and give him heaven.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.